For all who hunger and thirst for righteousness, Jesus is the bread of life. And living in a culture close to the earth, close to the amazing soil, sun, and rain, grain, flour, yeast, and human miracle that is bread, Jesus often makes use of bread. In his hands, in his parables, bread becomes a sign of God's giving, God's presence, God's abundance, of Jesus' life itself. Bread for the Journey is our theme for the next 5 weeks of Lent, and we'll look closer at what bread reveals to us in Scripture and for faith. And along the way, we can expect to find some bread brought by members of our church family right here on the family table. But this morning, not a loaf, but a stone. Because we begin not with abundance, but with hunger. Jesus' hunger, to start with. Scripture for the first week in Lent always takes us to the desert, to the place of Jesus' great testing. For us, that's quite a distance to the desert. It means leaving our monitors and flat screens, our cell phones and MP3 players, the food supplies in our kitchens, the walls, furnishings, all the comforts that we have spent our lives working to surround ourselves with, and going with Jesus to the most extreme place. And in a way, that's the whole purpose of Lent. The test for Jesus, as Luke in his gospel sees it, is how he will be God's child. We already know he is. His birth stories and his baptism told us. But now it's time for Jesus' basic training. And this means going up against the great tempter. Keep in mind, though, that the gospel says Jesus is filled with the Spirit. And that it's the Spirit itself, not the tempter, who leads Jesus to the desert. He can't be a child of God and not go through what he goes through there. As we go with him, we soon see that there's as much symbol as there is reality in this wilderness. Like the 40 days with no food. Like the appearance of the devil. 40 days echoes Israel's 40 years of wilderness wanderings in God's care after the Exodus. The devil's three tests symbolize the real temptations that the Son of God will face in his life, as the Gospels tell us often, to use his power and privilege to serve himself and to promote popular success. The desert isn't so much a literal place as it is a spiritual place. A place that represents Jesus' extreme spirit training for life. 40 days fasting, the three major tests for Jesus. And the first is a direct appeal to his hunger, but even more, a probe for a sense of entitlement. If you are the Son of God, this temptation begins, like the others will. And I've learned that the Greek word translated, usually translated, if, could also be translated since. So, if or since you are the Son of God, command this stone to become a loaf of bread. Well, why not? Jesus has to be starving. He's past the 40-day fast exercise. And if anyone's entitled to a bite to eat, especially when it's in his own power to make it, isn't it you, Jesus? And sometimes this test is interpreted as an appeal to Jesus to go public with the power to feed a whole hungry world. But I hear it only as a simple, subtle nudging of Jesus to use a miracle to take care of a personal need there and then. And he doesn't, of course. The stone stays a stone. And Jesus stays hungry for now. No small act of denial under the circumstances. But these are the circumstances. Jesus is God's Son, under testing as to how he'll live in this world. And he knows that unlike the people of Israel who complained against God in their hunger in the desert, he must await the giving of God. They failed to trust that God would give, and he must not. Yes, even under the circumstances. God is the life giver, and God is the bread giver. One doesn't live by bread alone, he speaks to the tempting voice. The rest of this verse, which Jesus is quoting from the book of Deuteronomy, is, "But by every word that comes from the mouth of God." Extreme? Maybe. But Jesus is in training as God's child. And where Israel as God's children blew it, Jesus doesn't. Humanly tempted, though he had to be. He was human. But being God's son for him means radical obedience to God, not exploiting his powers for personal or popular gain. It's faithfulness, not power or success, that matters. God's word comes first. The greatest commandment to Israel was, "Hear, O Israel, the Lord is our God, the Lord alone. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your might." So according to Scripture, Jesus is being the model Jew. Or in the big picture, we could say he is being the model human. And in the end, his refusal to be a superhero Messiah disappointed many people and caused Jesus great human suffering. But in the end, it becomes the beginning. The way of the desert is the path to new life. What's here for us to learn from going to the desert with Jesus? To a place so distant from where we are. A place symbolic of spiritual struggle. From the stone that stays a stone, which is reckoned as Jesus' obedience to God's word. From Jesus' righteous stand against temptation. For sure, we won't learn a set of instructions for what to do as God's people in every circumstance life throws at us. We won't learn how to feed the world's hungry millions. We won't solve the challenge of how to provide jobs for all the unemployed and at the same time keep from sending more greenhouse gas into our atmosphere. And going to the desert with Jesus won't equip us with answers to the complicated moral and ethical questions of our time, like when is abortion okay? Or should humans engage in genetic engineering? Going to the desert with Jesus won't give us answers, but it can give us our own basic training in how to live as children of God, how to listen for the word, how to put faith before bread. And Jesus went to hear the word in a place of great silence. We fill our every moment with sound. The poet T.S. Eliot wrote, "Where shall the word be found? Where will the word resound? Not here, there is not enough silence." How can we increase our times of quiet so we can increase our listening? So God might really have a chance to speak to our minds and hearts. Jesus went to a place of great hunger and put faith before bread. Desert emptiness is far from our way of living, which is filled with things. And when he refused to use his power to turn a stone into bread, he said, "One doesn't live by bread alone." How can we increase the ways our lives are more than living by bread? That is, the ways our lives are about more than using power and privilege to provide for our gain, putting faith first, and then bread. There's been a recent surge of discussion about the sense of entitlement in our society. Witness this week's Tiger Woods apology, in which he admitted to having acted from a sense of entitlement as a hard-working star athlete. Or other recent admissions from cheating politicians and celebrities. On a smaller scale, entitlement leads us to go for more for ourselves, whether creature comforts or power over others, because we work hard, or because we are good people, or Christians, or Americans. Surely we deserve what we have in our power to give ourselves. We deserve, are entitled to, our reward. But if anyone was ever entitled, it was Jesus in the desert. But there in the desert, he said no to the voice and waited instead for the bread he trusted God to give. The analogy for us isn't that we should starve ourselves or our families or take off to live in deserts. But if we're to learn more of what it means to live like Jesus, to live not by bread alone, but by God's word, we need to practice individually and together some of the ways of self-denial, of self-sacrifice, some emptying our lives of the stuff with which they are overfilled. Lent invites us to this basic training, to reflect on the amazing way Jesus lived in this world as God's child, and to practicing what it means to listen for God's word, and to put word before bread in our daily lives. As strange and as hard as that might seem, we follow one who went before us. In the coming Sundays, we'll meet Jesus as he shows us God's abundant presence with bread as a sign. But we begin here with hunger for God's word above all. I found a new hymn this week, a little too late to arrange for us to sing it this morning, but I'd like to close by reading its words. When we are tested and wrestle alone, famished for bread when the world offers stone. Nourish us, God, by your word and your way, food that sustains us by night and by day. When in the desert we cry for relief, pleading for paths marked by certain belief, lift us to love you beyond sign and test, trusting your presence our only true rest. When we are tempted to barter our souls, trading the truth for the power to control, teach us to worship and praise only you, seeking your will in the work that we do. When we have struggled and searched through the night, sorting and sifting the wrong from the right, Savior, surround us with circles of care, angels of healing, of hope, and of prayer. Thanks be to God.